Well, as Kathy noted, and I thank you for that, it was 2 years ago this day that I took the pulpit for the very first time as the head pastor of this church. That was important for two reasons. One reason that my predecessor, Pastor Clarence, thought was really important, and one reason that I thought was more important. Pastor Clarence pointed out that my ascension to the pulpit here as the head pastor marked the first time in the history of this church on Dofusky that a white man was named the head pastor of the church. And I can understand why he feels that's important. After all, the sign out front does say First Union African Baptist Church. That wasn't something I wanted to really play up on that day, though, because God is colorblind, and it really doesn't matter who is standing before the crowd lifting up God's words. He just wants it to be God's word. And so that wasn't as important to me, although I don't downplay the fact that it was historic in nature. What I thought was more important, frankly, was by naming me the head pastor, it marked the first time in this church's history, and we just celebrated the 136th anniversary 2 weeks ago, the first time in the history of this church that the head pastor lived on Dofusky Island and didn't come over by boat to preach a message and then go back home. Pastor Clarence mentioned it himself when he made a couple of remarks during our anniversary celebration. He said, for the 17 years that he was here, the reality was he was simply a preacher because he would come and go. He wasn't a pastor living amongst the people of this island. And in my mind, that was what it was really significant about me being the pastor here, because this island is my home. 23 years ago, I came to this island, and its impact on my life has been tremendous. This young woman over here I met on Dofusky Island, and she and I have been married for now almost 21 years. The people that would introduce me to Jesus Christ, I met on Dofusky Island. And so 22 years ago, I accepted Christ. This island has shaped me into who I am. The people that I have had the pleasure of living with, walking with, sharing life with over the last 12 years have helped me to move Christ from something that resided firmly up in my head and down into my heart. And in the midst of it, I live in this absolutely gorgeous place. But it's not just scenic beauty. There's something more to it. And most of you know what I'm talking about. There is a spiritual sense to this place. This is an island of healing and of restoration. It is physically beautiful, but it's more than that. And so I have this blessed opportunity to have been called to be pastor amongst beautiful, loving people in this phenomenal setting. And so 2 years ago, I stood up here and I cast out a vision. It was relatively simple. It was a vision that was inspired completely by this Holy Scripture, because frankly, if you're going to stand in the pulpit of a church, there should be nothing else that drives your vision and your mission. And we established a mission. And the mission statement was simply this: that we will guide people into a saving, transformational relationship with Jesus Christ. That is a paraphrase, if you will, of the Great Commission, Matthew 28, 19 and 20, where we're told to go and make disciples of all nations. Again, I don't understand why a church would have much other mission statement than that. So that's what we have. But we talked about church. And you heard me talk about this a little bit earlier today. Some of you for the 100th time. Some of you maybe for the first time. The Greek word for church, ekklesia, means a gathering. It means an assembly. It doesn't mean a structure. And it doesn't mean a set period of time on a calendar or on a clock. It is a gathering of God's people, those who were called out, coming together. And so we talked about how church wouldn't be constrained by this edifice, but that we would be rather a people with our hearts set on God, and because our hearts are set on doing God's work, that we would go out into the community and be God's hands and feet. And in that process, I talked about how my hope would be that we would be constantly being caught by people in the community in the midst of acts of love, loving our neighbor as Christ loved us, reaching out and doing selfless things. And so that was this brief mission and vision that I talked about 2 years ago. And so off we went, building on a wonderful foundation that Pastor Clarence had left me with, a foundation set firmly on the Word. And off we went, and we reached people's lives, and we started impacting, and this church started growing. But along the way, something unforeseen happened. 9 months ago, we had a visitor by the name of Matthew that came and shook our community up in a way that none of us had expected. Matthew, bringing a little bit of chaos, a little bit of pain, a little bit of turmoil to this island, dropping trees wherever it felt like it, onto people's homes, onto their businesses. We went without power for 8 days. People lost jobs. People had real economic impacts. And in the midst of that, we were blessed with this opportunity to show how God's community responds in the midst of trial. This church, which had been thought of as the First Union African Baptist Church, was now all of a sudden thrust into position of being DeFusky's church. And we responded. We reached out. We were a hand of compassion when people needed help. So many of you responded with whatever gifts you had, with your time, your talents, and your treasures. And it was noticed. And it was done without one lick of concern for who it was that needed help. It was selfless love. A disaster brought upon this island gave us an opportunity to respond with an act of love that couldn't be ignored by others. And all of a sudden, the church grew more as people saw this as a place where what really matters in life is found. And this church was elevated and it grew. And so the last 9 months have been this phenomenal burst of growth and energy on this island without a bridge. A vision where we would be caught doing acts of love as we seek to be God's hands and feet, as we seek to live lives of integrity, where we come in on a Sunday morning and we pledge our faithfulness to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. But then the other 6 days of the week, we actually have Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And we live and love. And what we say and what we do are the same thing. And that's how we have grown this church. By people who do the best that we can to be faithful to what we hold true. And out we go. And so here we are now, 2 years later. And it seems to me that this is a good a time as any to take a look at how we've done on that vision, that mission statement that was laid out 2 years ago, and how that fits with where we are today and where we're going. And the first thing that I conclude is that we've done pretty good so far. And the second thing I conclude is that our mission statement absolutely must remain the same. That our objective in this church must be to continue to guide people into a saving, transformational relationship with Jesus Christ. And that transformational part, it used to be that you wouldn't need to have said that. It used to be that if you said to somebody a saving relationship with Jesus Christ, they automatically understood what that meant. We've lost that understanding. But what it really means and why it has to be in there is that when you have been saved, the Holy Spirit comes into your life and you are transformed automatically. The person that you were before you accepted Christ must be different because the Holy Spirit now resides in you, and your priorities must change. Your reactions must change. You're now living for the Lord and not for men. And so you are a different person when you have been saved. And so we seek to lead people not into some shallow book knowledge level of understanding of who Jesus Christ is, but we seek to lead them into a relationship where they understand that he came so that we could have life and have it abundantly. And he's not just talking about when we get to heaven. He's talking about our experiences here, living life richly in love with one another. And so we got to keep that as our mission statement. We've got to keep moving forward. We've got to keep growing as we are in numbers, so that the more of us there are, the more acts of love we get caught committing. So that people see that and understand that this is an island in the midst of revival, where Christ is King and he shall be shown above all others. So if we do that, and if we're continuing to do that, what do we need to do going forward? Well, we need to continue to elevate our children, to lift up taking care of our youth and raising them up in the way of the Lord. As I mentioned, our youth ministry buildings got squished in Matthew. I also mentioned that we're praying for our youth minister because she's been hurt and can't do it. So what that means is we need to make some changes. We need to raise the money that we need to finish to build those buildings so that we have a place where our youth can be right here, where somebody who comes to the island feels comfortable having their child be just a few steps away during a worship service, a place where children can be growing in the Lord when they come here. It means we need to get some more people involved with our youth ministry efforts. We've got some people that we've been talking to that is in process. And so we're going to make that happen. But that's something we need to do. We need to make it easier for people to understand what we're doing. We've had a website in the works. It's almost done. Pretty soon you'll be able to actually see what we're up to as opposed to just showing up on a Sunday and hearing about it. That's kind of exciting. Communication's important. And so that's in the works as well. We need to understand the importance of missions. This one's critical. Our mission statement is not limited to Dufusky Island. It doesn't say to make an impact for Christ on this 8-square-mile bridgeless island. Because God's vision is so much bigger than just this one location. We just got back from a mission trip to Honduras, and it impacted the lives of everybody that went. It made a huge impact on the lives of the people that we took care of. It's important that we go. It is important that we go because of how many people we can help with just a small amount of money here. We can impact lives. But it's important for us to go also because we need to understand that God's family knows no racial boundary, knows no socioeconomic boundary. God's family knows no geopolitical boundary. The people that we will meet in heaven are the people who are living in abject poverty in far-flung nations around the world. They are our brothers and sisters. There is no difference. But until we get to see them, we don't fully comprehend that we, as the nation, as the globe's 1%, have an obligation to use that which God has blessed us with to lift up the others. And until we go and see and feel and have that transformation further occur in our hearts as we understand what it means to be a citizen of a global kingdom, we don't get it. And so missions are a great way to recalibrate our perspective, for us to see from a different perspective what's important to God. And so we must continue with missions. It must be a way that we further transform people's hearts. And so we're going to keep doing that. We must keep educating you, the people. We look at how Acts chapter 2, the early church grew explosively when God's people gathered on a regular basis. They broke bread together. They learned from the apostles' teachings together. And so starting in September, we're going to have a men's small group. We're going to have a women's small group. And we're going to start back up regular midweek fellowship time together. We're going to give more reasons for God's people to come together, spend time united around His Word and His people, and grow stronger. Because the stronger we are and the hotter our fires burn, the easier it is for others to stand close by and get caught up in the flame. And so we're going to do that as well. But there's something else that's on my heart and that I want to share with you. And that is that part of being good stewards of what we've been blessed with, part of doing all that we can do to further God's kingdom, is to recognize the uniqueness of this place. Dufusky is special. The Indians, the Native American tribes, knew about this going back many, many centuries, where they would send their sick to Dufusky to be healed. There's something restorative about this island. God's hand is on Dufusky Island. And many times I've heard from people, when they walk into this building, they feel God's presence in here. They say His Holy Spirit is here. So we have this unique building on this unique island, and they are a part of God's resources to be used to grow His kingdom. And to that end, there are three ministries that I would love to see happen. I would love to see Dufusky Island become a place where we minister to the ministers, because there are people doing God's work day in and day out at small churches around this country. They are bivocational pastors. They are people that will put everything on hold to take care of the needs of a member of their flock, while at the same time they're trying to figure out how to feed their family. Vacation is a luxury item for them. They need to be restored so that they can energize their flock. We have houses here. If we can get somebody to the shores, we can get them on a boat, and we can get them and their family into a house, and we can let them relax here for a week. We can feed them. We can let them soak it all in. The only thing I want them to do is read the book of Romans while they're here. Since it was good enough to start a reformation, it's probably good enough for them to rekindle their soul while they're at it. Second thing I'd like to see happen. I would love to see us somehow develop enough sleeping for maybe 40 kids. Maybe it's a couple of bunk houses. Maybe it's some tents. No frills. Bare bones kind of stuff. Something that a youth group or a church group could come on down, get away from their environment, because sometimes that's what transformation needs. Transforming your soul, sometimes you need to get out of your routine and get someplace else, and this is that someplace else. Come. Be restored. Experience what we've got here on this island. Hear God's word proclaimed, but see God's kingdom all around. I would love to see that happen, because this is a special place that nurtures the soul. And so many of you in here know exactly what I'm talking about. The third thing I'd love to see is I would love to see Christian thought leaders coming here and in an intimate setting, sharing their wisdom with people that are either just coming to know Christ, people who are skeptics, people that are here and just want to be strengthened in their beliefs. Why not? Why not have this be a place where, as believers, you know that you can be fed more and more? I realize that I am just this little island pastor in this little church. I don't have a great seminary background. I will never be numbered amongst the greatest critical thinkers in American Christianity. But some of them aren't far from here. Why not bring them here? Why not have this be a place where people come from Savannah and Beaufort and Bluffton and Hilton Head, where they get on a boat and come on over and hear Christ proclaimed in so many different ways? Why not make Christian growth an attraction on this island? This island needs further economic stimulus anyway. Why can't it be the teachings of Jesus Christ? Perhaps the resort's going to need something to fill their conference center when it finally reopens, he says, hopefully, maybe. But if not, maybe we need to build someplace else. Someplace where a couple hundred people can come and gather. This is down the road thinking, I know, and we could certainly start today. Why couldn't we get somebody to come on up here and on a Saturday afternoon, or maybe even on a Sunday morning, instead of listening to me, have somebody up here who can speak with profound truths and enrich us all. This is a magical place. We need to leverage that as part of our assets when we consider how we, as the body of Christ, can further grow the kingdom. But I want you to understand that those missions may be a little bit further down the road, but none of them make a lick of difference if we are to ever stray from the truth that is proclaimed in God's Word. If I ever start proclaiming some other gospel than this, then our efforts will be in vain. If we ever stop with leading with love, then we're building a house of cards. We're building on the shifting sands that will be knocked down by the incoming tide or the next storm. We must always fall back on the fact that our church will only grow when people continue to see that we are a place that leads with love. That same love that Christ showed us when he came down here and went to the cross willingly. So must we be in all that we do. But when we do that, when we ourselves are transformed, and as we move forward as Christ's church, we recognize that each one of us has been blessed, and we start asking, how can my blessings be used to further God's kingdom? It's not just loving people, it's how we use what we have to love them. You may like what I have laid out as a vision of where we're going, and you may say, I'd like to help out. I can be a regular piano player. I can help with Sunday school with the kids. I can help write a check to fund a building. I want to be a missionary. I want to just stand at the door and greet people as they come on in. Or I want to go out into the community and help somebody when they're sick. Bring them food. You may be saying to yourselves, these are things I want to do, and those have to happen in order for us to grow where we're going to be. It has to be a transformation in your lives that says, this is worth doing. And that shift must happen. And in the event that God puts something in your heart that's different than what I'm saying up here in terms of where you want to go, Chase and I talked an awful lot about going on this mission trip to Honduras, and he said, you know what, Aaron? God put it in my heart to go to India. I want Chase to go to Honduras with me. But who am I to argue with a guy who is still willing to go and go where God sends him? Because ultimately that's what it's about. We have a vision here for what we can do, but what's most important is what God calls you to do. A transformed life says, here I am, God, send me, show me, and I will do what you will. And I promise you, as a pastor, I can ask for nothing more than that, because that is the church as God really sees it. So this is where I hope we can go as a church. This is how I hope we can grow as a church. This is where I think we can and should be going as a church. But it's just words out of my mouth right now as a result of prayer and reflection. For it to become a reality, it depends on each and every one of you and how you respond to this. It's been said that a leader without anybody following him is just a guy out for a walk. Well, I don't ever want that to be the case. What I would prefer instead is that on that day that will come to each and every one of us, where we kneel before God in his awesome majesty, instead what we hear from him to each one of you is, well done, good and faithful servant. If we hear that, we've done it just the way it was meant to be done. Amen? Amen. Let us pray.